grammar of Christian faith, in our creeds and our hymns, and our music and the way we think and talk about the faith, that grammar of Christian faith in the Gospels includes some powerful images of transformation. Darkness to light, blindness to sight, come to Jesus, walk the path with him, be healed, be seen and restored, cry for help and receive mercy. Many images of transformation. And most of them are in the story of Bartimaeus. It's the last of those. He's the last of those whose lives are transformed and who follows Jesus on the way. This is what discipleship is made of. And maybe that's why Bartimaeus is such a favorite and his story is so loved. Jesus is leaving Jericho, heading the 15 miles to his destination in Jerusalem. As he and the crowds with him are leaving Jericho, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside begging, cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowds shush him up, but he cries even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus calls him over, asks him, "What do you want?" Bartimaeus asks to be able to see again. Jesus replies, "Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. It's a wonderful story. A wonderful story to love, a story of healing, of a man who was born blind, a cry for mercy that was heard. It's one of the few times we know the name of someone healed in the Gospels, a man who demonstrates uncommon faith. Mark must have loved this story. He tells it at a critical moment in the Gospel. Mark's Gospel is described as a passion story with a long prelude. The passion story, which is Jesus in Jerusalem, arrested, tried, crucified, that story begins in the very next verses in chapter 11. The first 10 chapters are the long prelude, which means Bartimaeus' faith and healing is the last story before Jesus' passion. All of Mark's gospel to this point has been a long carnival of attention seeking, a circus of power hungry actors, from disciples to crowds to Pharisees to principalities and powers in the form of demon possessed men and nefarious sicknesses and things that go wrong, or if not wrong, then just never quite right, until now. Jesus, in all of this, moves immediately from one to another. Mark's favorite word, immediately. A healing of illness here, a silencing of an evil spirit there, a humbling of disciples, a rebuke to the Pharisees, whether friend or foe. Everyone wants something from Jesus, needs something from him. Their demands are sometimes righteous, sometimes perverse. They're always serious. This 10-chapter prelude finds its conclusion in a story that, in contrast to most of it, is simple. And it ends as the capstone story of faith and discipleship. And it's not about any one of Jesus' 12 closest disciples, not a rich young ruler who has a lot to offer, so he thinks. It's not the religious leaders who have their theology and scholarship all worked out. It's this man. This man of whom Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus appears to be the exemplar of faith in Mark's gospel. It's the one story in Mark where something doesn't go wrong. In every other case, there's something that happens or is said that lays a shadow of uncertainty over the story. You might remember the last time Jesus healed a blind man, Jesus sort of steps back and says, what do you see? And he says, well, I see trees walking around. And Jesus heals him again, and this time he sees. Not so with this story. In this story, there's no ambiguity. This is just a clean and simple story of healing. We come finally to this story. When all goes well, this happy little gospel story, which does important work in sealing four fundamental steps on a journey of discipleship. We can find these steps here in Bartimaeus' own life. We can see first is to recognize Jesus' identity. Bartimaeus is the first in the gospel to identify Jesus' messianic identity as the Son of David. This is significant. And maybe what caught Jesus' ears and attention, Son of David. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, where he will commandeer a colt, sit on it, and ride it into the city, just like David. Blind Bartimaeus could see it already, even if the others could not. This is Jesus, King of Kings, the long-awaited Messiah. The blind man knew. He, in the deep sense, saw. Jesus is no mere teacher, not just a good man, but he's the one we've been waiting for. He knows the identity, and he also knows the heart of Jesus. He's the one we've been waiting for. He's the one I've been waiting for. Foundational to discipleship is to know our need for God's mercy. Just in chapter 10, we see feckless alternatives. The rich young ruler wanted the formula so he could gain eternal life. James and John wanted glory. Bartimaeus just asked for mercy. The heart of God is merciful and compassionate. Have mercy on me, he cries, and he doesn't ask for anything more. To know ourselves is the path to knowing God. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are completely his. 2 Chronicles. Hebrews 4. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Kyrie eleison. These are ancient words that begin many church services around the world. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. The prayer is one of our most basic appeals to God. We are imperfect. We are in need. Sometimes we're in trouble. We need you. We call on you. We trust you. God is not deaf. God is not blind. God is love. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways. Sometimes it feels like God doesn't hear. For some people, it seems God doesn't care. We come back to the prayer. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us when we don't know what to do. Have mercy on us when we think we know what to do, but our ways are not your ways. Have mercy on us when we do right and we're proud. Have mercy on us when we sin and falter and we are grossly ashamed. Lord of mercy. Christ of mercy, have mercy. Hearing this call to him from the crowd, hearing this with a heart of compassion, Jesus stood still. He stopped. For a story, Mark's story, where everyone is always on the move, Jesus stops right here. Some translations say he stood still and he calls him over. And the crowd says to him, the crowd which has been shushing him now say, take heart, get up, he's calling you. It's a remarkable thing in the messianic project of getting the world straightened out. How can there be time or capacity to deal with one more miserable, old, blind beggar sitting by the city gate, a miserable sort in the wilderness between the power centers of Jericho and Jerusalem? where important things happen. But Jesus' well of compassion is bottomless. He hears the man's cry for help and stops for him. If this story is full of images of discipleship, here's one powerful image of God's compassion. Always on the move until now, a cry for mercy stops him in his tracks. God stops and hears you. And here then is the moment discipleship comes alive, to surrender to Christ's call with joy. The symbol is in the cloak. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak. For a blind beggar by the road, a cloak may be his only possession. To throw it off is to leave it behind, though he is still blind when he does so. We remember the rich young ruler only lacked one thing to let everything go, and he can't. This man only has one thing, and he leaves it behind. This is a tremendous image of faith. And this act is pondered beautifully by a poet named Susanna Guthrie. Pondering the cloak, she says, "I see him in slow motion leaping to his feet, and then leaping again blindly through the parting crowd, his mantle soaring above them like a sail. That one thing necessary, warmth, shelter, thrown to the wind for one dim risk." "And what of that abandoned garment? I want to know," she asks. "Did some thoughtful person take up the cloak and carry it for him along the way, knowing the once blind man would come to need it again in the dark days to come? Or did Bartimaeus let his mantle fall to the ground, leaving it for the next beggar waiting by the roadside?" He left his cloak behind and leapt up, sprang up to come to Jesus when he was called. Like the disciples leaving their nets to follow at the beginning of the gospel, now he does something similar at the end of the gospel. There must be something to this. There must be something here inherent to following Jesus, something always to leave behind, something precious we let go, something that feels like freedom until it becomes our shackles, like ego. Something that feels necessary until it becomes a burden, like fear. Or like St. Paul, who had a life filled with all kinds of good things. There's nothing better than this. Until, compared to knowing Christ, it's all rubbish. Cried out, "Son of David," Jesus' identity. "Have mercy," Jesus' character. He responded to the call to come, left all he had to come to him, and then finally is to stand before Jesus and to be healed in ways you hardly could have ever hoped. And to go with him. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Let me see again." Physical blindness isn't the only kind of blindness. There's spiritual blindness, and to be healed from it is to see again, see for the first time. Often those who continue in spiritual blindness are so blind they don't even know they're blind. That's the final judgment of Mark's gospel, especially chapter 10. The rich young ruler sees his religious accomplishments, but can't see his neighbor. The two disciples see the path to their glory, but don't yet see the way of the cross. Jesus healed the one who was ready to be healed. "Your faith has made you well." We see here what Mark's trying to say about everyone. Everyone needs mercy, even if they don't know to cry for it. Everyone's blind and cannot yet see. But they will. They will all see. We will all see. But not until the cross is set and the nails are hammered. Then our eyes will be opened. Or will they? This is the question that still remains. Will their eyes and ours ever be opened? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This was really quite the only response there should have ever been to Jesus from page one. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. But it took 10 chapters to get here, and it will take a cross and a resurrection to get to us. But at the cross, we too may confess our need for mercy. And how precious does that grace appear when we have eyes to see Jesus, our Redeemer, by whose life, death, and resurrection we are saved. In His mercy, we are given spiritual vision to see the truth about the world's pain and ourselves, and our need for healing, and to see then our Lord as radiantly as the first light of sight, like one opening their eyes to see for the first time in a long, long time. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy upon us. We need you. Trust you. We love you. Hear our prayer. Amen.